Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in an untested vaccine hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate in those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad-spectrum immune-boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Or take your chances with the bad boys. Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free, 866-229-3663, or online, thepowerherbs.com. Is your PSA count high? Half of all men over 50 have an enlarged prostate. You can shrink your prostate without harmful drugs or risky surgery. The secret to healing the prostate is to cleanse the prostate and the liver. Call Apothecary Herbs to ask about the Prostate Kit for a comprehensive way to heal and soothe your prostate. Educate yourself on how easy it can be to disinfect, cleanse, and restore your prostate gland. Call Apothecary Herbs for the Prostate Kit and successfully reduce swelling, inflammation, dissolve stones, and cleanse the blood to obtain the results you need. Money-back guarantee with every purchase. Call the experts in organ cleansing. Call Apothecary Herbs now for the Prostate Kit and empower yourself. Toll free 866-229-3663 or international callers 704-875-8010. That's toll free 866-229-3663 or visit the web at thepowerherbs.com. The ancient Greeks thought thyme herb provided strength. Indeed, the chemical compounds of thyme contain antioxidants, an effective germicide that kills whooping cough bacteria and makes breathing easier. Just imagine what you can do with thyme herb when it comes to respiratory ailments like croup, pneumonia, asthma, and sinusitis. The extra benefit of thyme herb is that it soothes the nerves and stops spasmodic coughing, so you can get some rest. Who says you don't have time to take care of yourself? Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free for thyme tincture and tea to soothe your cough and get some rest. 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International 704-875-8010 or online at thepowerherbs.com.
1, 2, 3.
To Herb Talk Live. I'm your resident herbalist, Wendy Wilson. Hope you had a great day. It was sunny and gorgeous here in North Carolina today. It was spring at last. I see all the buds on the trees. I'm so glad for that. I'm done with the cold. And thanks for joining us here on Herb Talk. We're here to empower you. That's what we like to do. Magical engineer Frank and I are ready to roll. We got a good show. Thanks for joining us on American Voice Radio. We're going to be talking about some names that can be deceiving. Make you savvy out there. Well, you probably already are. What am I saying? If you're listening to Herb Talk, you're already pretty knowledgeable. You're already informed about a lot of stuff, but we're just going to go over that. And also, if we get time, we're going to be talking about some foods that you could eat as a prevention to, you know, not getting kidney stones. We got some stuff to talk about and a quack report. But before we get to all that great stuff, don't forget, coming up a week from tonight, Dr. Rebecca Carley is going to be with us. Ooh, can't wait. She's our wellness expert. She is the owner of ReversingVaccineInducedDiseases.com. Of course, you can get over to her website by going to thepowerherbs.com, thepowerherbs.com, and clicking the links tab and look for her banner and click on that to get right on over there. A lot of great stuff. So she'll be with us on the 17th. She joins us on the third Tuesday of every month. And so she'll be here. And we got lots to talk about and to empower you, of course. What else? Before we get to the Quack Report, big salute and Semper Fi, righteous men and women in uniform. I always lift them up in prayer each and every day. I lift all of America up in prayer. I'm asking for the Lord to hear our prayers for righteousness and truth, because that's what Isaiah 59 says we're supposed to do, plead for truth and for justice, and ask the Lord to help us. And I'm praying for righteous men of valor with understanding and knowledge in the Lord to guide this nation back on course. That's right. That's what I'm asking for. And I think that's what we need. We need to get rid of the nonsense. And I know there's a lot of people just despondent about it, but, you know, do something. Hit the knees, eat the Lord's face. He's wanting to hear from us. So prayer warriors, get to getting and seek the Lord's face, because the time grows short. And without further ado, let's do the Quack Report. Thank you, Frank. What do we got in the Quack Report? We're going to go to the UK first up. Police lock up the elderly. They have a big care crisis over there. Apparently, the vulnerable pensioners are being locked up in police cells when home care staff can't cope with them. Uh-oh. So the official report reveals that a 90-year-old man with dementia, he was suffering from dementia, apparently he gave a little resistance to his custody care staff, and they just decided to call, I guess it's 999 over there for the police. And another 75-year-old with multiple health problems was detained by police against the advice of his doctor. So Drew Sharpling, he's a HM Inspectorate of the Constables over there. He drew up a report, and he says custody was becoming a default option for dealing with these elderly people. Oh, boy. So the public would be surprised, he said, to learn that police cells are often full of vulnerable adults and children rather than suspects accused of serious crimes. That's not good. All right, so the Inspector General's office studied five police stations or five forces across England, Wales, and London, and they found the elderly people were being detained because there was nowhere else for them to go. So officials said it had become a detrimental impact on the health of and the well-being of these elderly people. Well, of course, you're throwing them into a jail cell. You're punishing them for something they didn't do. So the police cell, not an appropriate place for someone suffering from health issues or mental dementia of any age. Certainly they haven't committed a crime. So it sounds like the staff are poorly trained, can't cope with these special cases, so maybe some trainings in order. Let's put the elderly of the UK on our prayer list, shall we? Moving along in the Quack Report, what else we have? Scientists suggest that government should add psychotic drugs to our drinking water. Oh, boy. This was a 2009 study from the researchers at University of Japan. They also are doing a study currently underway in Scotland to assess whether lithium in the drinking water, which they think if they add it to the drinking water, it would reduce the suicide rates. So they may see that in their public water system, because the University of Japan had results that said that, you know, lithium is naturally occurring, but when they added a little bit more to the water level, apparently less suicide, less depression. So lithium is a chemical element, but if you get it in high doses, they tend to use it in high doses to treat things like bipolar disorder and severe depression. So the side effects, though, if you get too much, because, you know, if they're going to put a dose in the water, that's a dose for everybody, whether you're, you know, an adult 300-pound man or, you know, a 15-pound child. Apparently, you're going to be getting the same amount. So if you get too much, and what about people that are already on prescription lithium drugs? They're getting more in the water. So if you get too much, you get hypothyroidism from it, weight gain, and kidney failure. The critics have said that adding drugs to the public water violates medical ethics, and it makes it impossible to customize a dose. And it says, quote, all ethical codes for the protection of individuals who are subject to medical procedures, whether researched or routine medical treatments, and it has to endorse a basic requirement of voluntary informed consent, and that's from the International Journal of Occupational and Environmental Health. Well, yeah, we know about that informed consent. They seem to just blow it by. They just, you know, whatever. All right, last but not least in the Quack Report, here's something that's going to lift your spirits, okay? I know it sounds gloomy in the beginning, but hang with me. Let's see. Three teenage boys fell through the ice at St. Louis, Missouri, a lake there. Lake Lewis, they fell through the ice on January 19th, Martin Luther King's Day. One of the boys was able to climb out of the frozen water and crawled ashore. The other one was hanging onto an iceberg, but the third one was not to be seen. He was under the water somewhere. By the time rescue crews arrived, about 15, 20 minutes later, they were looking for 14-year-old John Smith. The other two boys were treated for hypothermia. So 15 minutes after searching, they did haul his body out of the water. He wasn't breathing, and he didn't have a pulse. They started CPR, and they kept doing CPR on their way to the nearby St. Joseph Hospital in West St. Louis, Missouri. After they got there, in the ER, they continued with the CPR, but his condition was not good. Actually, the on-duty ER physician, Dr. Kent Stutter, he explained that, in his mind, it was very grim, okay? He didn't expect the best out of the situation. So upon Dr. Stutter's announcing the bad news to his mother, Joy Smith, she rushed into the room where her son was and started praying loudly. She doesn't remember the exact words, but it went along the lines of this. She said, Holy God, please send your Holy Spirit to save my son. I want my son. Please save him. And there was a tech there in the ER, still there. The doctor was there. And John's pulse started flicking up on the screen. Dr. Sutter was so shaken and moved by the experience that he put a handwritten note in the child's report, or, a chart, I should say. He said, heart was jump-started by the Holy Spirit listening to a request of his praying mother. He told the press, well, what else could I say? That's what happened. So John seems to have pulled through, with the help of the Holy Spirit, without any significant brain damage. Hooray, hooray for God there. Dr. Jeremy Garrett, who helped Smith through his recovery, called the entire spectacle a bona fide miracle. This is true. John's dad, John Smith Sr., he's considered the whole event a miraculous event. He said it doesn't fit into our reality box, but he says, then again, you can't refute the clinical evidence. He was dead for like 45 minutes, and he's alive and well. There you go. Well done, God. And that wraps the Quack Report.
That's all, folks.
Oh, thank you, Frank. All righty. We're going to be talking about some names that can be deceiving. That's right, because we live in some interesting times where words don't always reflect what is really going on behind the scenes. Now, according to the San Francisco Chronicle, the name of organizations can be deceiving. People have noticed that there is rarely disclosure in politics or in corporate organizations. So take, for instance, the FDA, which is supposed to protect consumers from deadly products. And one may be asking why products known to cause adverse or deadly outcomes remain on the product, on the market under FDA's protection. Well, the answer is older than the cities of Jericho and Babylon, and that is the love of money. So the people of inferior character tend to succumb to the lust of money, which further corrupts their judgment. So the love of money is mentioned in the Bible as leading to one of the five dangers. So where there is the love of money, it becomes a god, and that can lead to the danger of dullness of hearing. Now, some people have never heard this expression, but it is mentioned in Hebrews chapter 2, 4, 3, 5, Matthew 13, and Acts 28. Dullness of hearing means you lose the ability to discern between good and evil. So in order to hide the evil that is going on, it must be cloaked in what appears to be good. So let's take a look at some of the organizations that have supposed, they're supposed to be for the benefit of all Americans, but are they? Let's look at some consumer deception here. There is this nonprofit organization called the Center for Consumer Freedom that is supposed to help Americans by disclosing the truth about food products. Now, the center says this, it is devoted to promoting personal responsibility and protect consumer choices, end of quote. But according to Dick Rogers, he's a journalist, this center is essentially a front group for various industries like food and alcohol, tobacco, restaurant chains, etc. Now, according to Marjorie Friedman, professor of nutrition at San Jose State University, she says people are successful at managing their weight and diet, you know, counting calories and exercising, and she reports that the Center for Consumer Freedom has an indifference regarding diet and exercise on weight loss and tends to distort study facts. Suzanne Fallon, a Brown Medical School professor, confirms Friedman's conclusions. So the Center for Consumer Freedom likes to pick out parts of research that supports their position, and in doing so, gives consumers only part of the story, which the experts say sabotages consumer choices. Now, apparently, the Center for Consumer Freedom is an expert in creating what is called fog around the evidence with regard to consumer choices. So Dick Rogers reports that, quote, the Center for Consumer Freedom is not alone among political interest groups who have a coy and opaque title to obscure their purpose, end of quote. Well, let's look at some of the industry secrets. Because according to U.S. News and World Report, writer Adam Voiland, the food industry has a dirty little petticoat. They hire front groups to fight the anti-obesity message and health incentives. So he says that the Center for Consumer Freedom is an aggressive lobbyist company, and they lobby against anything that is anti-obesity related. An example he gives is a campaign to remove junk food from the market, especially from public schools. So the money they use to lobby with really comes from large food corporations like, you know, Coca-Cola, Tyson Foods, tobacco, Wendy's, fast food restaurant chain. Now, an article that appeared in 2008 October 2008 in the issue of the Journal of the American Medical Association, also known as JAMA, stated that the Center for Consumer Freedom has an annual budget of $3 million in which to lobby Congress for legislation to protect their corporate sponsors. Therefore, any campaigns or legislation that suggests we stop obesity and create healthier diets is basically attacked by the center. According to David Ludwig of Marion, and of course Marion Nestle, they're both authors of the JAMA article, they said the Center for Consumer Freedom boasts this, quote, our strategy is to shoot the messenger. We've got to attack the activists and the credibility of spokespersons, end of quote. Wow. So the donations the Center for Consumer Freedom receives from corporations are undisclosed, allowing them to hide behind their corporate name as something good for American consumers while they undermine the health of the nation. So writer Rick Nichols of the Philadelphia Inquirer states, it is a bit discerning. He reports that the Center for Consumer Freedom is not founded by consumers, but by business proposing a center to create and protect their interest. So these corporate food industries do not like to show their hand in the public realm, and therefore, you know, they hide behind a phony banner or a fake consumer of this phony banner of fake consumer freedom. Now, one writer for the American Chronicle said this, the Center for Consumer Freedom will run elaborate media campaigns opposing the efforts of scientists, doctors, health advocates, animal environmental groups to protect their corporate profits of their sponsors. He quips that the word freedom in their title actually means freedom to choose from their sponsors' products. So an example of one of their campaigns was this glossy flyer that was titled, Why Soda Bans Don't Fight Childhood Obesity. It was sent to all the news media outlets, such as the Orlando Sentinel. It landed on the desk of Greg Dawson, and he asks, well, why would consumers be so cynical when it comes to big business, being facetious, of course? He notes that on the bottom of the flyer in a small italic print, it states this, the Center for Consumer Freedom is a nonprofit coalition supported by restaurants, food companies, and consumers working together to promote personal responsibility and protect consumer choices, end of quote. Of course, Dawson says, fat chance. Right on. Well, if you ever wondered about the news reports that tend to encourage consumers, you know, eat more tuna in the wake of a mercury toxicity spill or radiation scare, well, it comes from the United States Tuna Foundation, but they hired the Center for Consumer Freedom to say it for them. So the USA Today weighed in on the Center for Consumer Freedom saying, a rose by any other name may smell as sweet. However, a special interest group with a deceptive name, well, that just stinks, end of quote. Well, it is extremely difficult to be both a consumer advocate and an industry lobbyist now, isn't it? Think about it. Well, they got this really big food fight going across the table of America. We have corporate groups going through nonprofit groups, and it has created this national food fight. Health experts and medical doctors say they really don't take the reports that are coming from the Center for Consumer Freedom seriously. The point is, consumers might be taking it seriously and thinking that they can continue to eat unhealthy amounts of processed foods and sugar and maintain good health. So this it was exactly what the New Hampton Union Leader paper stated when it ran their article titled, You Can Be Fat and Happy, But Not Fat and Healthy. So this was prompted after the Center for Consumer Freedom spent $600,000 on a newspaper blitz announcing Americans have been force-fed a steady diet of obesity myths. Well, how many studies has the Center for Consumer Freedom sponsored? Well, it does not appear that they have directly sponsored studies, but they attack studies which contradict their sponsors' products. And did you know that there are many profit and nonprofit groups formed with names that sound like they are protecting what is ethical and good but are not? Take, for instance, the Alliance for the Prudent Use of Antibiotics, which says it is, quote, dedicated to promoting proper antibiotic use and curbing antibiotic resistance worldwide, end of quote. They spout that they are raising public awareness through education and research. Well, who is paying for the research? Well, aside from some private donations, the government is giving them grants, and then it comes down to also 20 major pharmaceutical corporations that are supposedly sponsoring the research. And these tend to be, you know, companies that make antibiotics. So the American Council for Fitness and Nutrition says it promotes long-term strategies and public policy to improve health and wellness, and in particular, the youth of America. But they say that they cite science and behavior-based solutions to help Americans find that critical balance between fitness and nutrition. Well, if you take one look at their membership, it reads like the junk food industry of the United States. There's the American Bakers Association. There's the Frozen Food Institute, the Meat Institute, Coca-Cola, General Mills, Hershey, Kellogg, Kraft Foods, McDonald's, Nestle, Pepsi, Sara Lee, and, of course, the Sugar Association, just to name a few. Okay? So just because it's a name, you know? Well, sources do matter. Let's just admit it. It's amazing the amount of deception and misinformation promoted by corporations and nonprofits, and it's done to make lots of money. That's it. Consumers have to investigate matters for themselves if they want any level of truth. So it is imperative in the age of information to prove the sources. So I think people are recognizing that good health should not be propped up with pharmaceutical drugs while maintaining a poor diet. So if there is a health issue, the whole lifestyle needs to be examined. So modern medicine does not like to do that, but instead it prescribes chemical drugs to replace the function of the body. You know, our Creator didn't expect us to rely on pharmaceutical industries to stay healthy. So take away the drugs, and guess what? The metabolism crashes and burns. How is that in any way healthy? Well, it isn't. Just like these fake nonprofits hide behind their banner of opaque words, the drug industry hides behind chemicals to promote the illusion of health until the body becomes so weak it gives up. So people are looking for real solutions to health problems, not just crutches. So ask yourself, if the drug prescribed is going to strengthen the body and make you less dependent, if it won't, well, then I would look for a nutritional substitute to strengthen and make the body independent. So if you are fed up with taking drugs for life, then look around, ask some questions, get some solutions. You know, herbs are packed full of powerful nutrition the body needs for strength and repair and for balance. So add them to your lifestyle change. And if you wonder what herbs you may need, you might want to call the experts, Apothecary Herbs. They have herbs to strengthen the cardiovascular system, the pancreas, the lungs, the digestive system, and a whole lot more. You might want to call and get a free product catalog. Their number is toll-free at 866-229-3663. 866-229-3663. Now, if you're outside the U.S., dial 704-885-0277. 704-885-0277. ThePowerHerbs.com. If you're serious about herbs, you need Apothecary Herbs. They are certified organic, Tilth Oregon standards. They're GMO-free. They're synthetic-free. They use only organic alcohol to make their tinctures. Everything is naturally aged and cold-pressed to preserve the integrity and strength and alkaloid potency of the herbs. So you get a professional-grade formula. And you know what? Spring is the perfect time to do your organ cleansing, and maybe to use some herbs to help you deal more naturally with allergies instead of using a lot of chemicals. So, you know, call now and empower yourself. Give them a call. Visit their website, thepowerherbs.com. Get a free catalog and just see how powerful you are, because with Apothecary Herbs, the difference is how you feel. You know, you're going to feel the difference. Definitely going to see it. So give them a call, 866-229-3663. And if you have an opportunity to jump on the website at thepowerherbs.com, do sign up for the free online newsletters. They have two of them. They have the American Survival Newsletter. It goes out every Tuesday. And the Health Quest Newsletter goes out Friday. And they're absolutely free, full of empowering information that you could share with family and friends. And, you know, just be wiser, more, you know, savvy out there as a consumer. And don't let the wool be pulled over your eyes, basically. I know you're savvy and smart out there. Definitely. Anybody listening to American Voice Radio, they're smart. All right, yes, they're smart. Okay, we're going to be talking about some foods that help prevent kidney stones. And if we get time, we may be talking about some other things. We'll see. Healthiest place in the United States to live. Is there such a place? We might talk about that. We're going to take a break, though. We'll be right back with more.
pumping life into the original medicine. Herbalist Wendy Wilson will be right back.
Job stress, financial obligations, or relationship problems have you feeling stressed out? When life is too much to handle, use Apothecary Herb's emotional stress formula. Feel calm and more in control with herbs especially combined to provide the organic nutrition your system needs to help you cope. Complete instructions for maximum benefit and a money-back guarantee. You've waited long enough. Call Apothecary Herbs now. Toll free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at www.thepowerherbs.com.
Leaping tall buildings with a single bound? Faster than a locomotive? Whoa! Find the Superman in you! Listen to Herb Talk Live with herbalist Wendy Wilson.
As men get older, they are subject to hormone imbalance. And when this happens, men can experience osteoporosis, memory loss, irritability, blood sugar imbalance, weight gain, enlarged prostate, erectile dysfunction, and risk of stroke. The human endocrine system manufactures hormones. Why not feed your system plant nutrition to make the hormones that are right for you? For centuries, these herbs have been used to balance the male hormone system. Men, you've waited long enough for the male hormone formula. Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free 866-229-3663 for the male hormone formula. 866-229-3663 or online at thepowerherbs.com. 866-229-3663, where your healthcare options just became endless.
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
If you have a heart condition and emergency rooms and medical doctors are not an option, you need our emergency heart attack kit. 5 concentrated liquid formulas enter the system in 60 seconds to protect your heart muscle, strengthen heartbeat, increase circulation, relieve pain, and make breathing easier. When seconds count, you want all the help you can get with our emergency heart attack kit. Easy to use and portable in a 1-pound compact kit for your purse, briefcase, or car. Call Apothecary Herbs now for your emergency heart attack kit toll-free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at www.thepowerherbs.com.
On Herb Talk Live. I'm your resident herbalist, Wendy Wilson. We're going to talk about some of the foods that you could use to help you, sidestep the kidney stone problem. Because kidney stone is a pretty common malady maybe too common. So we expect about 10% of the U.S. population, that's like 30 million people, to have a problem with kidney stones, and a majority of them are men. Males are three times more likely than women to develop the kidney stones, and once you get them, you are 40% more likely to keep getting them over the next 5 years, and you're 80% more likely over the next 25 years to keep getting them unless you make some changes. Okay, so what are your chances? Are some people more prone maybe to developing the kidney stones than others? Well, some factors that increase your risk are going to be heredity, infections, medications, metabolic malfunctions, and, of course, your diet. It should also be noted that Caucasians are more predisposed to developing kidney stones than African Americans. So you're more likely to develop kidney stones between the ages of 20 and 40, especially if you take thyroid hormones or loop diuretics. They tend to make you more vulnerable. So how do the stones develop? Well, kidney stones are, you know, it's a hard crystal, which is usually gets separated from your urine and then accumulates in the thin lining of your kidney. The stone is made of calcium, oxalate, and phosphate. And when you don't have the proper balance of chemicals in your urine to dissolve these elements, we get stones. So what you eat affects the chemicals and the crystal content of your urine. So what you should eat to help prevent the high buildup of calcium, oxalate, and phosphate, what can you eat to do that, to prevent it? Well, it's easy. You don't eat the Western diet, okay? Countries that adopt the Western way of eating, they always have a tenfold increase in kidney stones. So here's the type of kidney stones. Depending on your lifestyle and maybe your family history, you could develop specific types of kidney stones. The calcium kidney stone is the most common. When the calcium is not used by the body, then it gets flushed out through the urine. A lot of drugs will do that. But if the calcium hangs around and binds with other waste materials in the kidneys, it forms a stone. Another kind of stone is the struvite, which contains magnesium and ammonia. It's a waste product. And these usually form after a urinary tract infection. So the uric acid stone will form if you have too much acid in your urine. The rarest form of stone is the cystine stone, which it's an element that builds up in the muscle and the nerves, and it builds up in the urine, and then it causes what they call cystinosis. All right, let's talk about the symptoms. Well, most kidney stones, well, you know they're painful. They can pass through the body, usually undetected. It is the big ones that we notice because they get stuck in the urinary tract and they block the flow of urine, which causes severe and persistent back and side pain. Other symptoms will be blood in the urine, fever, chills, nausea, vomiting, cloudy urine, urine that has a really bad odor, and a burning sensation when urinating. So your physician will want to do a complete medical history, you know, physical exam, maybe order some diagnostic procedures. You may be subjected to a series of x-rays of the kidneys and the bladder. They may inject some dye through your vein to do that. So the x-ray should show things like tumors, stones, and any other reason for a malfunction. Now, of course, there is the urine analysis that checks for cells, you know, the red and white blood cells, and other chemicals like proteins in the urine. You will probably get a jab and have some blood taken from you. Usually the substance that promotes kidney stones could be indicated as a marker in the blood. A renal ultrasound most likely would be ordered to size up the diameter of the kidney stone and or mass or cyst if you have one of those. All right, let's look at prevention. The National Institute of Diabetes and Kidney Disease recommends you drink more water, 12 glasses per day, to flush out the kidneys. Now, the beverages of choice they also recommend drinking are fruit juice, coffee, and I know this is strange. They also say soda. I wouldn't touch soda with a 10-foot pole, and we'll tell you why in a minute. So drugs that are also to prevent calcium buildup are also prescribed. However, Dr. Stanley Goldfarb of the University of Pennsylvania School of Medicine in Philadelphia says you should change your diet and you'll cut your risk in half. Yeah, the Mayo Clinic agrees. And their test case of 108 patients, when they changed their eating habits and drank more water, they had fewer kidney stones And within 5 years, next 5 years, they didn't have problems. So more water, change the diet. Let's look at the dietary changes. What kind of changes are they recommending? Well, if you are prone to kidney stones, people who cut back on all the meats, which, you know, produce a lot of protein in the urine, have fewer, if any, stones. You want to cut meat portions by 2 to 4 ounces per day. You know, that would be the portion size, 2 to 4 ounces, and boost the vegetable consumption. So vegetarians have fewer stones, according to a study in Great Britain. And this study concluded that vegetable fiber was an antidote to kidney stones, mainly because it decreases the amount of calcium in your urine. And patients who went from a vegetarian diet to eating meat increased the calcium in their urine and their risk of stones. So also a study out of Halifax Stone Clinic, Camp Hill Medical Center, they found that those who ate more wheat or corn fiber drop the calcium in the urine significantly and reduce the reoccurrence of kidney stones by 60%. And then there's the Asian element, because after World War II, the people of Japan started to eat more of a Western diet, and their cases of kidney stones tripled. There was a study done at Kinkai University in Osaka, and it tested 370 patients, and those that drank more water and ate more vegetables with their meals avoided large dinners, of course, and they ate early in the evening before bed, had 60% less likelihood of developing a kidney stone. Interesting enough, though, was that the diet worked even if the patient had high calcium in their urine and were taking prescription medicines. So there you go. Here's some foods you should avoid, though. Foods with high oxalates will produce more oxalate in the urine, creating stones. So foods like sweet potatoes, baked beans, blackberries, rhubarb, spinach, peanuts, tea. Love tea, though. Chocolate. Oh, no, please. Okay, so chocolate. I love chocolate, too. So tea and chocolate. Oh, boy. So you're probably wondering about reducing maybe your animal calcium foods like dairy. Well, cutting back on this is not a bad idea, but severe calcium restriction boosts oxalates in the urine, thus causing stones. So you may want to go to more plant-based calcium supplement than using animal dairy. The key would be to get your calcium in your fruits and vegetables and some of your herbs. Doctors of Harvard School of Public Health conducted a large study for over 4 years and found that men who ate calcium lowered the risk of stones 34% over the men who restricted their calcium intake. So the study revealed that calcium helps prevent oxalate from entering the blood, filtering through the kidneys, causing stones. So the study also said it was calcium in natural foods that did this and not calcium supplements. So green leafy vegetables. And, of course, if you have to use a supplement, try not to do bone meal and all that stuff. Try to use your plant-based supplements for plant-based whole food delivery. All right, let's look at your beverages of choice. What the beverage of choice is, if you have a kidney stone sufferer, well, water, lots of it, of course. You want to restrict the alcohol to moderate consumption because alcohol boosts levels of calcium and dilutes the citrus juices. You may want to dilute the citrus juices if you have a sugar issue with more water. Other beverages you might want to avoid are tea, as we mentioned, hot chocolate, and sodas. These studies recommend that you drink 8 ounces of water every 4 hours while you're awake, and this helps flush the kidneys of the acids and things. Other assistance if you need it, if you want to clean the lifestyle up a little bit with some medicinal herbs, they can offer some assistance to cleaning the fine filters of your kidneys and perking them up. Juniper berries have oils that are known to help dissolve stones, and juniper is excellent at disinfecting the urinary tract. So kidneys and bladders that have bacteria in them, yeast and other microbes, you might want to look at the juniper berry as a way. It's juniper communis, that's what it's called. And if you're looking for a wonderful cold-pressed aged professional strength concentrate of juniper, look for that at Apothecary Herbs. Now, if you tend to have kidney bladder problems quite often, you might want to look at the kidney bladder cleanse kit they have. It's a little bit more comprehensive, and they do offer it in a juniper-free version if you have sensitive kidneys. Sometimes people with very sensitive kidneys, they don't like the juniper. So you have two choices there. You can get a juniper-free version if you need to. Men who have kidney stones will also benefit from maybe a prostate cleanse, too, which, by the way, does have juniper in it. So there you go, two birds, one stone kind of thing. So if you're also looking for more calcium in a plant liquid form, they do have the calcium-rich herbs in their product called Calcium Formula. So check that out at thepowerherbs.com. If you're serious about herbs, you need Apothecary Herbs. They've got it going on. It's awesome stuff. All right, we got a few minutes. Is that what we have? So we're going to talk about best place, worst place to live health-wise. Let's check it out. There is a significant risk factor where you live these days. Maybe there's a risk of dying early in some locations. Let's see. Aside from wars or famines, there are safer places on the planet that we may be able to thrive in. According to the Global Health Risks, Mortality, and Burden of Disease Attributed to Selected Major Risks, and this is a publication of the WHO, there is a link that we should consider. The global health risks are hypertension, smoking, diabetes, lack of adequate exercise, and obesity. So according to the World Health Organization, their report, they say that there's some places on this planet that offer a higher burden of disease, shorten your lifespan, and give you a higher than average mortality rate. Oh, so let's take a look and see. Well, we are led to believe that the non-fatal health risk for young individuals is usually being maybe underweight, having unprotected sex, alcohol use, unclean water, poor hygiene, and sanitation. All of which make us more susceptible, though, to infectious agents. In the poor countries of the globe, diet is also a risk factor. Insufficient nutrition leads to zinc, copper, and iron deficiency, malnutrition. Millions of children die before they even turn 5 years old. However, they have three times the mortality rate of teenagers who perish before their 16th birthday. So mortality, nutrition, got to remember that. Let's look at some of the global statistics. The VOA Special English Health Report offers some interesting stats on how humanity is doing globally regarding death rates over the last 40 years. According to their report, which was cited in the May issue of Lancet, a 15-year-old today will most likely die before the age of 60. Globally, for men, the death rate declined by 19% and for women by 34%. So the rates are stemming from the death reduction of young mothers and children. However, other mortality rates did not improve. So you can check that out online. Let's look at the United States, because I've been reading reports on the United States, and we're told that the U.S. is falling in with regard to the mortality rates, while other reports claim the U.S. has a very best but expensive healthcare system. Now, regarding mortality rates, the U.S. fell from the 34th to the 49th place for women, and for men from the 41st to the 45th place. Currently, 7 in 10 deaths are those of 70 years of age or older in the U.S. Well, let's look at some of the top countries. Now, I often hear from folks say that they don't know what the world's coming to, and where they could move for a better life. Well, according to the VOA Special English Health Report we mentioned, there are three countries which always seem to be on the top of the heap when it comes to the lowest male mortality rates, and they are Sweden, the Netherlands, and Norway, all European Union. So they also looked at adult mortality over the 40-year span and found that there are three countries with an overall lowest adult mortality, and they are Albania, Chile, and Tanzania. I guess get your passport ready, right? Let's look at the wealth versus the mortality rates. According to Discovery Fit and Health, their site, the wealthier countries may not be as healthy as other countries with a lower economic status. According to the World Health Organization statistics, the wealthier countries there, the people have a better chance of dying from cancer, lung disease, cardiovascular disease, or dementia. Children and adolescent deaths in the wealthier countries are recorded as 1 in 100, And in the poorer countries, it's 4 in 10 deaths involve children who die before their 15th birthday, and 2 out of 10 deaths of those over 70 years of age. So the fatal health risk in the poor country is not heart disease from eating too much red meat or smoking cigars while sipping on brandy. The death by disease in a poor country stems from respiratory infections, HIV, diarrhea, malaria, premature birth, and death by childbirth. Well, let's look at where the healthiest people are living. According to the Sarah Novak of Planet Green, their site, they say that places on Earth where health prospers, one such place we're told is Iceland, with its smaller population, clean air, and cooler climate. Icelanders work out and they counter the winter weather, and therefore they're pretty fit. Life expectancy in Iceland for women is 74 and for men it's 72. It also boasts the lowest infant mortality rate, 2 in every 1,000. And Japan was also on the list, however, with the Fukushima incident that cast a shadow over the mortality rates and life expectancy of the island population. So in the past, Japan's life expectancy was 74.5 years, and on the island Okinawa, it was common to live to be over 100, and it was most likely due to their diet. Now, Sweden is another country whose diet includes a significant amount of omega fatty acids from fish, and they're one of the countries that is healthier than most. New Zealand is on the list and is similar to Iceland's population. New Zealanders spend a lot of time outdoors and are adventure enthusiasts. They hike a lot, they camp a lot, they fish a lot, and they are all avid gardeners. So getting closer to the Mediterranean, there is a little town called Sardinia in Italy, their healthy place on the list. The people live simple lives there. They are shepherds. Everyone walks, okay? Nobody drives, so everybody gets exercise. And in Finland, they made the list. They had this astounding comeback from being one of the worst places for heart disease 30 years ago. And now they're a country with healthy lifestyles, less pollution, and they have lower stress levels. So they made the list. They've also traded a lot of their red meat for fish, and they load their plates with fruits and vegetables as their diet over there, if you want to check that out. Sure. Yeah, you can do it. There are a lot of things that you can do that aren't expensive, and, you know, who knows, you might even get off some of those medications you're paying a fortune for. So actually, my banker did that. He, middle-aged, you know, well, maybe not so old, he's 30-something, but, you know, had a little extra weight, and his doctor told him, you know, we're going to have to put you on blood pressure meds and cholesterol meds, and he didn't want to do drugs for life, so instead, he noticed that when he was bored, he'd eat. And so he just got a hobby, and he started to walk more, and he dropped 30 pounds, and with it went the blood pressure problem and cholesterol problem. So he changed his lifestyle, and everybody has that ability. And I know it's just easier to pop a little white pill that you get from your pharmacist, but what are the trade-offs, you know? For that luxury of simplicity and convenience. Oh, yeah, there's a big trade-off. You should research your trade-offs. So it's not only just the expense of the cost of filling the prescription. It's what you're paying down the road with your metabolism and your health. So, folks, Apothecary Herbs has been in business for over 15 years, and they empower people. That's what they do. I think that's why we're here in the first place. We were meant to do this. And I tell people, you know, these aren't just formulas we picked out of the air. These were Dr. John Christopher's formulas. And if you don't know who he is, he's an herbalist, one of the hands, handful of herbalists that kind of resurrected natural medicine in this country after it was trying to, the powers that be tried to, you know, eradicate it. So he went to Europe, he went to Canada, he went to the Native American Indians, and he learned about herbs. And he was inspired to do this because his mother was sickly, and he wanted to help his mother. And so he learned about herbal medicine, and he opened a clinic in Utah. And, of course, you know, he healed a few people, a few hundred thousand people, I would say, over a 60-year period. And so his formulas were perfected over a 60-year period. And then when he retired, he said, you know, I need to pass on this knowledge. This is like a treasure trove of knowledge. So he opened a school called the School of Natural Healing in Springville, Utah, and he taught, you know, budding young herbalists how to carry on this knowledge and help people. And he's not with us any longer, but his school is run by his family, a couple of his sons, and so the tradition carries on and the knowledge is passed on. So this is what we do, because that's where I went to school, and we pass on that wonderful knowledge, 60 years. I don't know of any pharmaceutical product that can claim it has 60 years of testing history, empirical history even. Herbs have thousands of years of history. They'll never be out of style. They'll never be defunct. You know, they're just a very standard, basic, maybe old-fashioned, but powerful backup. Seriously. I think, you know, when you trust our Creator, and you trust that the herbs are here for the service of man, because that's what he said in Psalms 104. And you trust that he says it's powerful, it's like meat in Genesis chapter 1. Then, you know, he's the master chemist. He made everything. He should know. And so it's this wonderful backup to have. And I tell people, you know, you should have a reserve of the herbal tinctures, because they have a shelf life of 10 years. So, you know, in case something happens and you don't have access to other things, what are you going to do? Can you imagine if you were a person on these lifelong drugs just to survive day to day, you like heart medicines, diabetic medicines, whatever. What are you going to do if that supply line ever got cut off? Well, you better have a backup, and you better do something about it now where you can transition and become stronger and not have to use those types of products. And you're not supposed to be on the herbal products for life either. It's just till you get strong, change the lifestyle, and do your due diligence. Yes, it's work, but the payoff is it's a balance. It's corrected, and you're not dependent on something. So I encourage people to, you know, the time's getting short to get that together. So I think now is the time to start investigating, researching, doing your homework, getting it together. If you're interested in, you know, consumer packs, budget packs of herbs, year supply of herbs, they all are available at Apothecary Herbs. You can check out their website. They have the budget section and they have the non-budget section. And you can even purchase things on their automatic ship if you want, and you can come on, come off anytime you want. It's up to you, but do something. Empower yourself. Give them a call toll-free at 866-229-3663. You'll be so impressed at how powerful you are with the right tools. 866-229-3663 or thepowerherbs.com. That's where your healthcare options just became endless. I gotta go. Time's gone already. The information presented is not intended to diagnose, treat, prevent, or cure disease, so seek medical advice from a licensed medical physician if you dare before using any product or therapy. I'm your herbalist, Wendy Wilson. Till next time, be well.